Steve and Jill here.
Howdy.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about the sellers, how sellers need to trust you. And this episode is really by Jill. I can't describe how important trust is when you're doing a real estate deal.
Totally. I like to point out, by the way, because I'm looking at it right now, it's episode 911.
Really?
Isn't that funny? It's like, emergency. I need to get the sellers to trust me. 911.
It is raining and thundering and right lightning now. Outside, and we are like 50 yards from the ocean, and it's a little scary.
It is. I'm a little excited. It's kind of like, I'm outside looking, it's all dark. Like, I feel like a... Is there a tornado coming? I don't know.
I wonder if this is... I hope it's showing up. Or I hope you can hear it on the mic.
That would
probably
be cool.
Not. The room's shaking, that's for sure.
That's true.
Before we get into the topic, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Trevor asks, hey guys, I was curious if anyone has sold any properties via option/double closing, whatever you want to call it. I have wholesaled a couple of houses in my day, but that was with a title company, and I knew, and with buyers I already had lined up.
Yeah.
My question,
that's the right way to do it.
Right. My question is, do I just need to sign to get them to sign an option agreement and then find a title company to do a double close? I've got several folks with $40,000 or so properties who are willing to sell them at about 50 to 55% of market value, but not the 33 to 35% of market value that I offered. Is there any way to get something like this done without a complete hold of hands?
Hold on. Let's answer that question. Is there any way to get an option agreement done without a lot of work and a lot of maintenance and a lot of phone calls and handholding? Jill DeWitt.
I do it.
Without work?
I have a conversation with them, but it's not a lot of work. But I do have a conversation with them, tell them what I'm doing, explain the whole process.
That's a lot of work.
Get them to sign an agreement. I guess it is a lot of work. So
you don't see it that way because you just love doing these deals.
Yeah,
I say that with total affection and respect.
Thank you.
But option agreements are a lot of work, but they also don't require any money.
True. So then, the follow-up here, purchase contract with the seller, 90-day inspection period, $100 earnest money. I don't do that. So that was his idea, was doing it. So maybe do a contract with the seller, 90-day inspection period, and then the earnest money. I don't. You know what? I'm usually doing these kind of transactions because, like you said, Trevor, you're not into the price. That is like we do all the time. I love it at $3,000. Maybe at $5,000, anything more than that, forget it. So that's kind of the conversation. So I would have with the seller saying, look, here's the deal. I'll give you $3,000 right now. You want me to try to get five. All right. You want to hold out for five.
He said $40,000 bucks.
Okay. $40,000. So maybe
it's
Trevor. Okay. So, and Trevor wants to buy it at 20. Five, let's say $25,000. So, dear seller, I'll buy it right now at $25,000. I love it at 25. $40,000, I'm not feeling it. Let me see what I can do. If you give me 90 days, I'll go out, see if I can, you know, market this property and sell it and get you that $40,000. If you sign this one-page purchase agreement or this option agreement, giving me the 90 days to go do this, then I'll see what I can do. And then after 90 days, we'll talk. If I can't do it, you know, that's it kind of thing. So I know I heard that. I get all excited like a kid on Christmas with thunder. Anyway, that's what I would go do. And sign. And I would give $100 earnest money on a $40,000 transaction, it to me is like throwing the guy a nickel. I don't think that I wouldn't even offer that. So I wouldn't insult the person with that. Here's the agreement, and then I'll see what I can do. And then, you know, fingers crossed, you're going to go out and market it. And like everything that you've done, I wouldn't open escrow at this point and have it just sitting there because I want to spend that much more money. I saw this piece of paper giving me the equitable title that I need to do this.
To market it.
Right. I can go put it on my website.
It without a license.
And
real estate license.
Right. And do the things I need to do. And fingers crossed, I get a buyer who's willing to spend $60,000. And now I'm okay with it. So if I get that buyer, $50,000, $60,000, whatever I think is worth my time, now I'm going to go back to the seller and say, hey, it's day, you know, 42 of our 90. You know, are we still good? I think I got your 40,000. Yep, we are. Now we proceed. We open escrow and do the whole thing because you've just lined up your buyer, you have your seller, and it all makes sense.
It's all possible. And Jill has done more option transactions than I have, literally.
Thank you.
In the last 10 years, Jill has done more option agreements, you know, like way, way, way more. And she has a lot more of experience. It takes a lot of patience, a lot of talking on the phone. What I would do in the situation instead is go on to DealBoard or soon to be Land Tank, find a partner. Let's say the property's worth 30. I don't know your numbers exactly. I don't remember. But let's just say it, your acquisition price is 40 and you know it's worth 80. Find a partner to fund the 40 and split the on the back end, the $40,000 profit that you'd make. You take 20, he takes 20, and you guys all win. And then, here's the kicker. You control the deal. You have complete control. There's not a lot of talking. There's no big, huge rush now. You don't have interest to pay or any of that stuff. But the kicker is, you get, in both of these, what I don't like about options is everybody I see doing options has this attitude like, you know, this is a pretty good deal.
Right.
I don't know.
Their heart's not in it.
It's okay. It's an all right deal, I guess.
I understand.
But if it was priced at $20,000, you'd be saying, this is a great deal ever. I'm going to do this right. So what options do, in my opinion, is you as a real estate investor are compromising. Right. And that's what I don't like about it. It's not the structure of the deal or how much work.
I agree. I'd like to say,
I'm not discounting anything you said, because you're an expert on this topic.
Well,
seriously.
This actually, for me, ties into today's topic. How do I get these people? You're like, oh, this makes me nauseous. And I'm like, so what? I'll get the guy to sign it. Let me just talk to the guy and I'll make it happen.
Yeah.
And that's how I go into it. Why? Well, I'll tell you, because I know how to get him to trust me.
Today's topic, how Jill gets sellers to trust her.
Ding,
this is the
ding.
Meat of the show.
Ding, ding. So this is it. And I have a lot of notes here, and I'm going to kind of dive in.
I think this is great.
All right. So you can paint your nails. You can listen to the thunder.
I hope power doesn't go out.
Play a video game off to the side if you would like.
That computer can handle that. We've got enough going on here. We're fully producing.
I'll be like, this is what I should do, like the parents. Here's what I should do, like the parents at a restaurant. Here, Steven, here's mommy's phone. And let you just go. I'll let you know when the show's over.
I would love to go to dinner and watch my tablet, like a 2-year-old. Just watch a movie or play some video games.
All right.
Everybody else talks.
Okay, I have to share something else funny like that.
I'd like to do it with a scotch, though.
This is what my dad used to do. Every single darn time we went out to dinner, Dad always brought a magazine. Why? He'd sit there and read his magazine.
How does he get away with that?
I know. I don't know. Mom let him. I don't know how. But he'd go in, he'd place his order, and then out would come the magazine. And then Mom would be stuck with us. And usually it's us over here like this at the booth. And Mom like, not sit. No. All right. Now you over here. You know, we've all done that. There's a wall. Pretend there's a wall between you. Don't touch the other person. And we're like under the table. Anyway.
That was
Dad,
wrong generation.
And Dad would be quietly over there just reading his magazine. And it was always flying. It was always in aviation. It was always that magazine. So anyway, so one time, I think it was Father's Day because we had to get him. We were always practical joke people. So one day, we all went out to dinner on Father's Day, and Mom is under the table handing out magazines. So after we all ordered, we all pulled out our magazines, and it was really
fun. And it was probably the best dinner ever.
No, it was just a joke. We just went in. Dad's like, oh, that's funny. That's like, no, that wasn't the whole point. But anyway, that was for you. So please don't bring a magazine to dinner.
No.
Okay. Anyway, so here's the meat of the show. So why do sellers, A, need to trust you? Well, reason number one is for situations like we just talked about.
I want to hear this too.
Thank you. I can't
wait to hear what you're going to say.
Okay.
Because you're good. All right. You're very qualified for this.
There's a couple reasons. Well, one, like this transaction, you need them to trust you. You want them to trust you. You want them to A, sell to you, and you want them to feel great about you as a person. You want, if anything's, they're uncomfortable or anything's going sideways, that you want them to pick up the phone and call you and go, hey, my brother's talking to me about this transaction. He doesn't think this is right. Will you talk to him? Sure. You want them to, you need to all, everybody be on the same page and get them to trust you. You want them to see you as the authority and the expert as getting deals done. So that's the why. Now, and then the when, When do I do this? Well, you know what? At the minute that you have the very first communication with them and through all communication with them, you need to convey this level of trust and experience and confidence. Okay, now, okay, that's all great, Jill. Talking like you. That's fantastic. How do I do that? That's so, it sounds good. All right, I have three things you need to do. One is the way that you talk to them. And by the way you talk to them, I mean really simple. The tone that you use and the speed that you talk to them. I want you to mirror them and talk the way they do. I do not want you to talk to a person from Southern Florida like you live in upstate New York. That is not the way to get their trust.
What a mess.
They will hang up on you so fast, it's not even funny.
That's a great point.
And you may have all the right things to say, but how you're saying it, because you sound like somebody from New York and you just like you're rushing them through everything and you talk so fast and they don't understand and they just want to get, you know, you're just trying to get them off the phone and you make them sound like they're inconveniencing you.
There's no trust there at all.
Nope. You have to slow it down.
That's great, Jill.
And you have to, by the way, you cannot be condescending. You have to be very, very careful with your tone.
Yep.
You can't say, okay, Mrs. Smith, let me replay this for you then. What I said was, you cannot do that. That's not going to get you any trust. So you have to really like chill out and think about them. And then the flip side's true, by the way. What if you're a Southern Florida talker and they're a New York person? And I had to learn this. I remember learning this too, by the way, because I'm a Southern California person. I remember there was a time in my life where I didn't know anybody from New York, right? First time I talked to New York, I might as well be talking to someone from Paris. I hate to pick on these people, but that's just the way they are. They're aggressive.
Pick on New Yorkers.
And they're a little more in your face and a little more whatever. And I was like, what the heck? So I had to learn to push back a little bit. And the way I pushed, I would have to say like, no, this is how the deal's going to go. Then once I did something like that, then everybody's okay. We're all cool.
You have to disarm them.
I'm like, what just happened?
It's all confrontation for the first 30 seconds. It's kind of like a peacock show.
Well, it's almost, and I'd say,
it's really silly.
I'm the buyer here. I'm calling the shots kind of thing. And they're like, all right, got it. Well, how does it work for you? I'm going to wire the money this day. What account you want me to use? All right, it's this account. I'm like, what just happened? You know? So that's it. So tone and the speed. Number two, how to get them to trust you. Follow up and follow through with any commitments. Please don't tell them I'll call you tomorrow and then call them in 3 days. There's no trust. If you can't get to them in 3 days because you're traveling on a work event or something like that, tell them, you know what? Here's the deal. I'm going to be real busy up until Thursday or Friday this week. Which day is better for you? Thursday, Friday? Heck, I'll even call you on Saturday if you're busy. That's fine. When should I follow up with you? And then do it. You know your schedule and do that. And then my third thing for building the trust, be honest. Even if there's a problem, tell them what really happened. For example, what if you sent them out, you open an escrow, everything's going smooth, there's a hiccup. Tell them there's a hiccup. Like, I hate to tell you this, Mrs. Smith, I just caused a 1 day delay. I sent the wrong purchase agreement. They've been trying to reach me and I was unavailable.
That's great.
I am so darn sorry about this.
That's great advice for how you behave in the world.
Thank you. I'm fixing it right now. And you know what? Even though I caused a 1 day delay, I found a way we're going to get it back on track. So we're still going to close on Tuesday. I just want to let you know this is what's going on. And I am so darn sorry, but I fixed it. Just be honest and tell them. Don't hide and say, boy, that stupid title agent, boy, they just don't know what they're doing. You don't want them to do that. Now they have a sense of insecurity with you and the title company. That's the last thing you want. Just come out with it. Be honest and truthful. Do you want to add anything to any of that?
Yeah. So do you have a good story about, you have a million stories about when and how and why this works. Do you have any one where it just doesn't work? A certain personality type, or I see it here. Before you answer, let me try to make my point here. What's great about this business, and I designed it this way, it didn't happen, I didn't fall backwards into this, is that you're not selling anything.
Right.
When you send a letter out,
it's true.
This is not sales. You send all these letters out, 1,000 letters out, 10 of them come back signed, or they call you and say, you know, is this a joke, or do you really want to, because I do want to sell my property, but maybe not for this amount.
Right.
It's it. The mail and the postage and the data did all the work for you. Mm-hmm. There's no way you're going to make 1,000 or 1,500 phone calls to find those 10 people, which is what they used to do in 1955. And then you get
some people still do.
Everybody gets real mad, mm-hmm. you know. So it's really, really efficient. By the time they get on the phone to call you to see if there's any truth to this, they're closable.
That's true. It's just putting the deal together. It's just, hey, does my offer sing to you? Yep, great, done. Here's how it's going to go.
I guess, did you ever get blindsided, or not just one incident, but is there one thing that you just avoid, like you can tell 10 or 15 seconds into the phone call that it's not going to work? Or it basically, well, it's never the real estate deal ever. It's,
no.
only, it's always the people.
No, I've never had a, you know, the only time it doesn't work is when our prices don't line up. And it's just because they really want to get, sadly, there are people out there that ask for above retail because they really think that, let's just say, land related. I'll give you like a land and a house example. In a land related example, they're like, you have not stood on my bluff. If you stood on the bluff of my property, you would know exactly why it is worth more than anything else in the neighborhood.
There's nothing you can do with that.
And then the other version is for a house.
You're absolutely right, Joe.
You have not seen the colors we picked in our kitchen. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's breathtaking. Everyone walks over and wants our house. So I know what retail is, and I know we deserve more than retail.
And
so those are out there.
Everybody who's in the residential real estate flipping business subscribes to that model, the renovation business, I should say. Exactly what Jill's talking about. Oh, it's the best kitchen on the block.
Right.
That's why we get this price.
So that's the only times I've ever had a transaction not go the way I wanted it to go. So have I ever, all I do is leave the door open. And sometimes they come back. Not always. And I know that. And that's okay. Because like what Steven just said, I'm not out shopping for deals. Who cares? I got 10 more I'm working through right now this afternoon. It doesn't matter. I mean, I literally have that many. I'm behind right now in our deal funding. I got to go look through these and catch
up. It plagues me. I lost sleep over it.
We're even having this conversation, you know, too. Like right now, there's a few, like, this is a good point, and it's a little sidetracked, but when you get going, it's easy to think you want to hold on to every deal and make everyone work. No, you don't.
Just the best ones.
Pick the good ones and move on. And so do all these things I talked about, make them trust you, be the honest person. And by the way, part of being honest is making them trust you. Say, you know what, Mr. Smith, look, I realize you think it's worth $50,000. I've been doing this for 10 years and I know this area really well. And I I've actually used this exact conversation. I do not mean any disrespect, but I cannot pay more than $6,000. That's my top. So if that works for you, or you know, in the next 30 days or 90 days, whatever I feel like, if you think that would work for you, I will honor my $6,000, but I've never spent more than that. And I'm not gonna, you know, it just doesn't work for me. So I wish you all the best, and you know, take care. And then I let it go.
And they come back.
They do. There's
you know
a large percentage.
Because no one.
Once they go out and shop it, they out and go,
yeah.
Nobody really will pay 20. I guess I was wrong. This person wants to pay 6. I have nobody. I've shopped it for 20. I've got no bites at all. And I need to get rid of this property right now. 6 is now not sounding so bad because otherwise I'm going to get stuck with it. Hopefully, and they have that conversation. We've all had that conversation when you're selling something.
He's going to remember Jill for a lot of reasons.
Well, I was honest and I was upfront and I'm going to follow through. And I am telling them truthful things and I am showing I'm an expert in the industry and in the business. You know, I've got a website. This is what I do. I'm not just, you know, not just whatever. So thank you.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time for Commercial Real Estate Acquisitions by me, Stephen.
And we answer your question posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Are you kidding me off? I'm getting all these like
just
topics that it's like.
You're killing it. So,
thank you. I have a lot to say.
Now say what you need to say. Because,
no.
I'm not cutting you off at all. We're over on time, but you're killing it, love. So,
thank you. It's valuable.
If you have something else to add, go for it.
No, we covered it all. I just noticed you're like, it's like a,
not at all.
You're lassoing me.
No, I'm just keeping a track. That's all.
We're good.
But now's the time.
No, I covered it all. Thank you very much.
It takes a lot of practice. You know,
it does.
And I have a lot of practice at it, quite honestly. And I'm not awful at it.
No,
I just
don't
enjoy it. My answer is, I would rather send out 3 times as much mail and get and only deal with the ones that signed it. And the ones that signed are offered to come back and go through the due diligence process and shove it off to closers. That's just how I run.
Whether or not you like it, if you just take a step back and think about who you're talking to, trying to be, you know, and conveying that you are that good, solid, stand-up business person, investor that you are, and you're just simply trying to get a deal done, and you're being honest about everything, then it should come easier for you. You're not trying to be slimy or get anything past anyone. It should be very easy.
You know, we forgot to talk about this yesterday, and it's really, really important about the 70-hour work week thing.
Yeah.
And it ties into exactly what Jill just said. If there's some stuff you don't want to do, get a partner. If you're working 70 hours a week, but you're really good at data and you're really good at pricing, like I am, but you're not good at or don't really want to talk on the phone and close these deals, find yourself a partner like I did.
Thank you.
You know, if you're Jill, find yourself a Steve and vice versa. Find yourself a Jill.
Thank you.
That really, really solves. Partnerships can be a beautiful thing.
Thank you. Wherever you are listening or watching, please subscribe and rate us there. It really makes a difference. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.